The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves, or they were pushed out by outside forces, like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
Well, okay, so we had the missus and I celebrate 9 years of
way to go
living it. 9 years of living in sin.
There you go.
9 years in as an affront to our Lord, an unwed relationship.
Oh, your common law wife. My mom used to refer to my ex girlfriend as like with no irony. Like, how's your common law wife? Okay.
Is it? It's like, oh, I remember. I thought it was 7 years.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah,
7 years was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have 7 years of living with somebody. I thought it was.
Yeah. 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 I think it is.
So by rights, if gay marriage is legal and you just live with a buddy for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
you could have a common law husband. You could just. Without thinking about it, oh man, I've accidentally married this dude.
We have a checking
I accidentally got gay married.
Oh man, that's so silly. So yeah, 9 years, y'all. So y'all, yesterday was your anniversary.
We kept it. Yeah, we chose it because we chose a day.
So oh, you can't remember the actual. First date?
No, we had one of those kind of running starts.
Yeah,
rolling start kind of a relationship.
I know what that's about.
Yeah, so but so we picked May 1st. We did took a ride on the Portland Spirit down the Willamette River. Did some sightseeing, had brunch. It started there. I went hard on the mimosas.
Okay.
Went big on the AM champagne
buffet.
I didn't know how the buffet was going to be, so I got all the extras. You know, I'm like, oh, yeah, shrimp cocktail. Oh, yeah, Mediterranean platter. You betcha. Oh, cheese platter. You know it. Got all that, and the buffet turned out to be good. Ate a bunch, had a bunch of champagne, walked around during the day, enjoyed a lovely day in the city for once, finally. Did some bar hopping. Went to a... Finally made to a bar called Creepy's, clown theme bar, which, okay. You know, after having been to Jumbo's Clown Room,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, you just have paintings here? There's no angry nude women? But, which is actually, there's plenty of bars with that in Portland, so.
Yeah.
It made more of a refreshing change of pace. And then had ramen, then went to a ramen spot. So I just filled myself with different alcohols, different foods, and came home. And got into a lift where the woman, like, where there was like a Glade plug-in cherry thing with like, and she was listening to like Big and Rich and like that combo of all the stuff I did over the whole day. That's what sent it over the edge, was like Travis Tritt and this Glade plug-in for the ride home. I'm like, I don't feel good.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Yeah, it was a rough combo, but it was still a nice day on the town.
Well, that's fun, man. Yeah, man. Good for you.
Yeah, we did that. And I was, finally got to get rad. Finally got on the bike. It's been a few months. Hadn't been on the bike in a few months.
That long?
Yeah, since I was in L.A. last time.
Hmm.
Things finally stopped raining for a couple days, dried out. I did a show in Roseburg, which I admittedly had a little too much backstage whiskey before. I got to stop. I can't drink whiskey before a show. It's
yeah,
a sleepy booze.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sleepy booze. It slows my brain down.
Yeah. Gives me the marble mouth.
Yeah.
Everything's
really
marbling.
Tequila. I don't want to be drunk during a show, but a tequila soda or two, high functioning.
Yeah.
Really got all the firing on all cylinders, really.
Mm-hmm.
Beer, just... At this point, beer is just like drinking scuba weights to me. Just swallowing, Just swallowing lead fishing weights. I'm like, what am I doing? I'm just feel slow.
Yeah, I bet you in this year, 2023, I bet you I haven't drank 6 beers all year. I have one every now and then. But yeah, the concept of drinking beer to catch a buzz, those days are long gone.
I'm not built for it.
I'm too big. I got too much mass to get drunk off a beer. I would literally have to drink, to get like a good buzz, I'd have to drink 10 beers. And
think about how much liquid then you're
yeah, just sloshing around, carrying a gallon of liquid in me.
So Roseburg, they had some backstage whiskeys, which I enjoyed, and the thought process was a little slow. But then the shows in Salem were a good time. But thanks to people who came out to all three of those shows. And that was it. And I got to ride on a new trail, and it's just, it's getting there. We're getting there. Seasonally, we're getting there. I feel all right, buddy. How about you? What's going on with yourself?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just making the podcast rounds, promoting the special. So I've been guesting on a lot of podcasts. Some of those will be coming out soon. I'll keep you posted. But special comes out Friday. So doing a last minute push to spread the word. Answering the same questions over and over again. But hey, I appreciate people giving a shit enough to have me on. Mm-hmm. But yeah, doing that. Took another barbecue pilgrimage down to South Orange County, down to my beloved Heritage Barbecue. Brought my cooler, brought back plenty of meat for the family, like a modern-day hunter-gatherer. I go out into the wilderness, and I come back with pork ribs.
I think it's that middle that's no longer hunter-gatherer. It's the shopper.
Yeah.
It's the provider.
But yeah, still rings true. My power rankings haven't changed. Still number one on my list. That's the best barbecue. I honestly, we've talked about recency bias. I'm sure that plays into it a little, but I honestly think it's the best barbecue I've ever had. They're doing magic down there in Orange County, Heritage Barbecue. They got two locations now. I think they just opened one in Oceanside, California. You ever been down there? Kind of just north of San Diego?
That's a beautiful familiar area. With it. Haven't been down there.
Yeah, beautiful. Right there on the side of the ocean, hence the name. But, took our buddy James Fritz down to Heritage with me. That was his first experience, and he seemed to be...
How's old Fritzy? Did you make him happy?
Yeah, he was happy for a few minutes while he was eating pork ribs and brisket.
Do something that makes him happy. Fritz but deserves some happiness. We got to make that man good time. Happy.
Yeah, he's... He seems to be doing pretty well. But, yeah, had a good time going down there, eating some meat. Other than that, not a whole lot. Just doing some shows here and there, watching a lot of sports. NBA playoffs are in full effect. That's exciting. So, yeah, nothing too crazy.
Doing bits, watching shows. Buddy, I mean, how much more do you want out of life, you know?
Oh, yeah, exactly. I can't complain, man. Can't complain.
Got stuff.
I went to Amoeba Records, which is pretty much a weekly trip for me. But I told you a few weeks ago I saw Seal at Amoeba. And the other day I saw an even higher profile celebrity. I saw Jonah Hill perusing the vinyl at Amoeba. So, yeah. I would say probably about every fourth or fifth time I go to Amoeba, I see somebody famous. Yeah, I saw Paul Giamatti.
Are you selling off any of these records?
No, man. No, the collection's growing. It's looking good. I think I'm approaching 1,000 right now. So, yeah, it's... I probably should sell off some of them, but...
I'm not judging. I'm just think of it in a terms of space.
Yeah. No, I still, everything can fit in the three cases I have right now, but... Yeah, I feel like I'm contradicting myself. I said I have almost 1,000 records, but then I was going to say I'm pretty discriminating on what I choose to purchase. So with that, there's not a lot of You know, occasionally I'll go through the inventory and be like, okay, let's be honest. I haven't listened to this record in 5 years. Maybe want to trade this one in for something else. But for the most part, everything I bring home is a keeper. So now I am I'm a part of this Third Man Records subscription thing where every quarter that's Jack White's label there in Nashville.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But every quarter they send you like a big exclusive release or something. And, you know, and I think I'm a part of a couple of those subscription services. So, you know, sometimes, you know, the quarterly release is something I'm not into and I'll sell that. But for the most part, everything I bring home pretty much stays. And I also, go ahead.
Well, I know we discussed this. So you just kind of get, you're just sitting there and just play a record. Just sit there. And
well, a lot of times, yeah, sometimes I'll do that. But a lot of times it's just background, you know, in the office if I'm working. Yeah, if I'm writing jokes or working on, you know, all the hours and hours and hours I slave over Boogie Monster, you know, it's a lot of records I'm going to have to get through.
Puts a lot of effort in, folks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
he's hitting record. He's hitting stop record. Hey, you're the editor. You're the producer of this show.
That's right. I'm queuing up Wikipedia. You know, if it's easy, everybody be doing it, Kyle. Oh, wait, they are.
Podcasting, if it was easy, everybody'd be doing it.
But yeah, man,
we're both about to do the rounds.
Yeah, you're about to do some in New York, right?
We're both out there promoing.
Yep.
Both out there just laughing into open maws. You laughing to my maw, I laughing to your maw. Hopefully the views go up on YouTube, and then I'm gonna shut the fuck up for a month straight. I think I just got to be a monk. Oh, I can't look at my calendar. I can't. I need some days of just like, on the road, I just sit. I don't talk to anybody all day until I go do the show.
Yeah, same.
And it hasn't been that way for a while. I got to get back to it real soon.
Yeah. Do you have any time off coming up?
I mean, if the shows are good, it's all time off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but time off from traveling and stuff. Even though you have fun doing the shows, and I do too, the traveling.
No.
I mean, I don't travel nearly as much as you do, and it still wears me down.
I fucked it up. Well, I got a weekend at Helium in June, so I'll be around for a week there. But yeah, it's she's looking busy. She's looking real busy these days.
Well, that's a good problem to have, though.
It is. Well, you know, it's free. It's freelance mentality. It's you can't. You feel like if you say no to work, you're like, well, what happens when nobody's offering you work? Mm-hmm. And it's own kind of like misguided self management.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's still not a good thing. Whatever. What are we getting into this now? I'm like, well, August I bought tickets to see the Descendants and Dillinger Four, so I got that coming up. For myself, that's my personal thing. I got coming up. It's August 12th. I got concert tickets. It's a little far off. Oh man, Dave, something going. What are we? What did anything scary happen to you this week?
Anything scary?
Nothing scary's happening anymore.
Well, this isn't. This doesn't sound interesting, but I do believe it's legit. We have a ghost in the apartment.
I thought you were talking about that, but you thought somebody was living in your attic or something.
Well, yeah, I still am not 100% sure that's not true. I do hear rumblings up in the attic sometimes. But and again, I know on paper this seems very minuscule, but we are constantly missing silverware. And there's only two of us that live here. We don't have a housekeeper. We very rarely have guests over, and we're just constantly losing spoons and forks and knives. And it's not like, you know, we're not pulling out the good silverware to eat in bed. It's not like they're getting lost in the sheets or underneath the mattress.
You're not a bed eater?
No, I'm not a bed eater at all, and I've had to kind of wean Katie off of that practice just because I got this weird little hang up of climbing into bed at night and there being fucking crumbs and oatmeal and gummy bears all in the sheets. So
you have a problem with that?
Yeah, yeah, I know that's ironic, but like rolling,
you don't like rolling right into a Three Musketeers bar?
No, man, separation of church and state, man. Let's just
no,
keep...
I dig it. Feeling crumbs in the bed's gnarly. I get it. No, if it's a hotel and I only got 2 days, oh, I'm swimming in it. But
yeah,
not at home.
Yeah, no,
unacceptable.
But yeah, man, constantly. Katie bought these little ice cream spoons. I learned this trick from Rory Scovel years ago. When you're eating ice cream or anything fattening or indulgent, use the smallest utensil you have. That way it takes you longer. You know, you're taking smaller bites, whatever. So,
oh, yeah. Little smaller got, plates.
Yeah,
smaller plates and bowls, so the portion looks like it's bigger.
Exactly. But she bought like two dozen of these little bitty, I guess like baby spoons. You know, just little baby spoons. And that's what we used to eat ice cream and dessert and whatnot with.
Well, you have 24 tiny spoons?
Yeah, we got 24. Well, we had 24. Dude, I'm not exaggerating.
Not disposable?
No, not disposable. Just they came in, because they're small, they came in like sets of 12, so she just bought two sets. So this is my point, though. That's an excessive amount of spoons, I will admit. We had 24 tiny spoons about 6 months ago. We have zero now. Literally zero. And there's nowhere else they could be. Now, I know they're small and they could get lost easily.
I think you're getting high and you're throwing them out.
No, we're not. They're disappearing. And it makes me wonder if there's a ghost in this building that has some sort of affinity or sentimental attachment to silverware. But that's my point. It's not like I had one or two, it's my favorite spoon, and now it's gone. We had 24 6 months ago. Now we have zero. So I don't know what the fuck's going on with that.
I think I do. I think you get high as shit, and then you want ice cream. And because it's a little spoon, like the little disposable spoon that comes with little ice creams, you're just chucking them out. I think you're tossing these spoons. And then you look, because you know you got 24 of them. It's not like you started with four, so you're keeping track of four.
Yeah.
You got a surplus, so you're not... This is just a theory. I'm not blaming. I think you got spoon rich, and you got irresponsible. You got that new spoon money, and you're just being real casual.
But that shit has happened a lot.
Spoon rich! I hated that fucking song. I don't like Soundgarden. I'll be honest, man. They had a couple tunes. They had a couple songs that I liked. But after, like, Black Hole Sun was one of, like, I got Annie Oakley reactions with changing the radio when that would come on.
Yeah, I didn't like that whole album.
What a bummer. What a bummer.
Yeah. I know it's cliche, but I like the early work. They were a little more... It just seemed heavy in the early days. But, yeah, that one big breakout album, I didn't care for any of those hits.
Blackout Sun, it sounded like doing yard work on a cloudy day. It's like, oh, I just got like a chore and nothing's enjoyable.
Did you like any of those Seattle bands?
I think we talked about it before when grunge came out and it was, all right, this is like the era where I'm supposed to be, you know, where like you're formulating your ideas about music and kind of trying to be an individual. I'm like, all right, well, this is the alternative music, and I was very desperate to stand out and stake a claim for my own individuality. Like Pearl, I heard Alive by Pearl Jam, like, this is great. And then I got that album and I was like, oh, the rest of this is this is a real bummer. And I was not sad as a teenager. I was not, I did not have that angst. I was like amped up and ready to have a good time. And so, like, oh, this is a song about a school shooter. I'm like, what's this for?
Yeah.
What is this? What am I supposed to do to this music?
Great question.
Am I supposed to do a cool skateboard trick? No. That's not the sound. It was not the soundtrack for anything I wanted to be doing. And so all that stuff came out like, okay, I got Nevermind by Nirvana. And there's a couple things in there. I'm like, all right, it's like getting close. But then it just wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah.
It just, and then It really was. That's when like somebody's like, oh, we're going to go to this Screeching Weasel concert. I'm like, what's that? And they're like, oh, it's going to be crazy. And it was, honestly, I've said this before, but like, this is how I still view comedy and everything. Like, this is how I view my career now, is that we rolled up to this all-ages venue, and they were doing two sold-out shows, and the place held maybe, shit, I don't know, 250 or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe, probably not even that much, but when you're a kid, everything seems bigger. And I'm like, how are these bands that have never been on MTV or the radio or anywhere, and they sold all these tickets? And that's when I was like, oh, there's a whole other layer of music, art, anything that's out there that you just sitting at home aren't going to be exposed to.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and that, and then that was the music that I'm like, this is the music I've been looking for this whole time, you know. And then people started showing me skate videos. I'm like, what's all the bands on this? What's all the bands on that? And that's the music, like that and Beastie Boys, like Beastie Boys and, like, to a further extent, some other rap stuff that was had a little more movement to it, and it just didn't feel like you were, you know, sitting in just warm pudding.
tired
and slow.
Screeching Weasel, was that your introduction to punk?
Yeah, that was that show. And so, and it was, and then every, you walked out of the show, and it's not to be like, it was 1993, there's no internet. So you just walked out, and people were handing you flyers, and I took every flyer to be like, all right, how can I get to these? Who's got a car? How do we get to these shows?
Mm-hmm.
And then you buy, like, okay, whatever money I made from whatever job, it's I bought that merch, I bought the CD or the record off of those guys. You look at the liner notes. Who do they think? All right, I'm going to listen to these guys. And then that was it. That's all I did every weekend in high school that I could after that was, like, just go to shows.
Yeah, same.
And that's why I pivot. Like, well, looking at comedy now, it's like, well, if you're in this echelon of known comics, and it's kind of viewed as like, well, if you're not in that echelon, then you're not worth your salt. I'm like, no, I know that's not true, because I know that's how music and all these other things are. And so I get, like, sometimes I get jealous, and then other times I'm like, no, man, I'm doing fine, and I'm just in this other tier. Like, I'm in that, I feel like I'm in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a little bit like, no, I'm doing fine. I'm not going to get upset about it. Anyway, that's what's going on with that music. Yeah,
is amazing how much legwork and homework you had to do back in the day to find the stuff you liked, compared to now with the internet and social media.
Yeah, and cool too, because everybody gets to find the stuff easier, and you get to cultivate a fan base easier. Which is why it's weird when people think that there's still like these kingmakers or gilded avenues. It's like, no, man, it's just everything's everywhere, and you can, you know, nobody's so much about a scene. Like, there's like punk kids, but they listen to everything because you can sample everything. You're not parting with 10 precious dollars to buy a CD, you know. So yeah, man, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah,
I think it's a good times, thing, buddy. But yeah, so grunge music kind of bummed me out.
Yeah, I didn't get on board. I mean, it was surface level for me as well. I mean, I was all about that first Pearl Jam album, but that's a great point you made. Like, I didn't think about it at the time, but maybe subconsciously, you know, I was like, huh, why does this not get me amped up the way some of the other stuff I'm into did? And it's like, oh, yeah, this is it's kind of a bummer if you listen to the lyrics.
Yeah, or listen to the music. It's all like slow. That's like, I'm in my car, like, either I'm driving for the first time, like, cool, man, listen to music because I'm in a good mood. And if I was like sad, I don't even know if, like, if I was sad, I was like, well, what? Then I'm going to listen to music to try and not be sad anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to listen to music to amplify my sadness. I wasn't that kind of kid that's like,
yeah,
I just got to wallow in it.
Emo, I mean, you weren't a little emo kid.
We didn't have emo. No, there was no, it was pre-emo. It was pre-emo. We had Nine Inch Nails. That's what you'd listen to. If you were angsty, you listen to Nine Inch Nails.
Listen to The Cure. Maybe a little, you know?
Some Skinny Puppy. Yeah, The Cure would sneak in there, sure.
My Bloody Valentine, maybe. Yes.
I didn't get into them. Smashing Pumpkins maybe a little bit.
Ugh, that's one. The Squash and Pumpkins. I hated them from the get-go. I don't know why. There was just something like, they're missing the target. This is not for me.
Man, I'm going to tell you guys, I think you, in this day and age, are you sitting back and enjoying a record? That's Siamese Dream. Like, you,
really?
Everybody knows that today's song. Because that's, I'm like, mm-hmm. Okay, I know the song that I'm going to hear over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Never listened to the album. Album's got some jams on it, man.
Yeah.
Real guitar heavy, yeah.
They were just so whiny. I hated the whiny stuff. I think that's why I couldn't stomach a lot of that late 90s, early 2000s pop punk stuff. I hated the whiny vocals.
No, Chris Hardwick nailed it in some bit. He's like, it's the nya-nya bands. And so yeah. Like Blink-182 was the band. And then all these bands that mimicked them. Like now looking at somebody like acting like Newfound Glory is this like classic pop punk. Blink was barely tolerable. Because it was like, all right, well, we had Green Day, and then Blink was this commercialized version of it that had no problem with like name brands or anything, you know, capitalistic around it. Like there was no like the DIY punk rock values weren't there. I liked the music quality of it. It was so hard to get behind. Like, oh, this song's great. It's about poo and pee. Like I'm. Like, I'm a teenager, but I don't want to, I'm not going to sing out loud, poo, poo, pee, pee. You know, I'm not, I can't do that. So, I had a hard time with that, with the poo, poo, pee, pee songs. And then.
As we all do.
And then all the nya-nya bands, as Chris Hardwick said, came out. And yeah, like, I was like, oh, these are awful. These, like, Warped Tour 2000. Bands like all the like I think Hard Times did a great thing about like entire audience has to stay 100 yards away from all Warped Tour acts, like sort of like
legally.
Yeah it's there, it was too many like silly faces and goofy lyrics, and it was like all clown show. I'm like, all right, I get that I like some of this, but I like when some of it's rooted in. Like, this just looks like this is like a bunch of Willy Wonka shit going on. Kind of was like a real Jump the Shark kind of vibe, which people would argue would Jump the Shark well before I even found that music. But for me, that's when I was like, okay, this is a little. You know what? Now I like Social Distortion, and then Mike Ness is like making eyes at women and like licking his guitar or whatever. I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, I'll just go to a Kiss concert if this is what's going on here. Like, oh, these guys are fake clowns. You're fake Zoot Suit era 50s.
Yeah.
But I still, like, I'll still dip in here and there with a little bit of Social Distortion. But
yeah, I don't mind them. I don't mind them at all. You know. Yeah, Ness, he's on his solo albums, he's got one song, I'm in love with my car. Okay. Like, I appreciate that, but like, you gonna write a song about it? Like, and I know that he's not the first to do that.
Wait a minute. Yeah, wasn't that the Queen?
Oh, is that a cover? Well,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Well then, my apologies.
Well, that was yeah, they're making fun of it in the Queen biopic. And then Mike Ness made that cover. That's all just a cover album.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Under the Influences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's why. If it's on that one, too. I don't know if it's on that one.
I don't know why I thought it was on the other one that had some covers, but some originals.
Cheating at Solitary. Yeah, so. Yeah, I think. Also, at that time, then I started doing comedy, and one like outside of like listening to the same mixtapes or whatever, driving back and forth to shows, I kind of fell out of music.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I think a lot of adults do. That like your life starts to happen,
yeah,
and then you just don't have the energy to like You want to listen to something that comforts you. You don't want to listen to something new, like, oh, I'm stuck in traffic, and now I got to also learn a new band. And so you understand, like, you're out, your dad's just listening to AM radio. Mm-hmm. Like, no, these guys talking. That's all I need. I don't need a new song to not like.
Yeah, I definitely went through my talk radio phase back in the day.
I mean, it's called podcast now, so.
Mm-hmm.
They're out there. Man.
Well, good times, buddy.
That being said, I'm trying to be better about listening to new music. I was liking that XM radio was introducing me to stuff, but then that was getting repetitive. So,
yeah.
God, I hate praising Spotify for any reason, but the little, oh, if you like this, you might look like this. Like, yeah, it helps. That helps.
Is there anybody new that you've been excited about in the last year or two?
I mean, new to me. Oh, this band called Dirty Fences I like a lot.
Okay.
Let's go to, what do I got? I started listening to, I haven't listened to Material Issue in a long time. I started listening to them again. Chicago band.
Okay.
There was, some podcast. Some podcast, I think, it's, oh, I forget what it's called. It's the dude from Local H, this guy Scott from Local H, mm-hmm. another guy from bands. And then this third dude is just the most Chicago guy that just sounded like, he's kind of clueless. And he's like, what's going on there? Oh, yeah, that guy. Oh, yeah, he played bass. I think he played bass a couple times in a band. Like, just kind of a silly guy in the background. And I've been listening to that show a little bit, and they were talking about Material Issue and kind of going over all these old. Because Chicago, wow, this really turned into a music podcast today, Dave. If we
oh, that's
to
all right, man. Yeah.
Chicago is going to be the next city after Seattle.
Really?
Yeah, because
what was Smashing Pumpkins from there?
Smashing
Local
Pumpkins.
H.
Local H, Veruca Salt. I think it was like 11th Dream Day.
I love and, Veruca Salt, by the way.
Veruca, I know they're two hits, but those two hits they ripped, man. They're
yeah,
good.
Yeah,
I got. I should give them more of a swing, you know.
Especially as a teenager, man, was I a sucker mm-hmm. for a female guitar player, like or drummer yeah. or any musician. I was just like, oh yes.
Take no shit kind of gals.
Mm-hmm.
But so that was, it kind of pivoted that way in the mid-90s, which is weird because that's when all the punk rock stuff I was seeing, but that wasn't really folded into the actual, I don't think it was taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Other than like the Smoking Popes, I think kind of, you know, they got the nod and the boost up to the big leagues for a minute, and Slapstick got the, or was courted by the big leagues for a minute. And it's funny because there's this place called Lounge Axe. I may have told the story, but like Lounge Axe was the spot outside, like the Metro, and then this bar called Lounge Axe. And I would always look at their calendar because occasionally they'd have punk shows. But every time I'm like, who's this band? And they get every Thursday? Fucking Wilco? Why do they get every Thursday?
Yeah.
So Wilco played to this 100-seat bar every Thursday mm-hmm. until they became Wilco.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, really? I could have just been open-minded and gone to see new music instead of being a up-my-own-ass youth. About like, well, I like this, and this is what I like. And if I like something else, it means I'm not true to this other thing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, teenager attitudes, they're pretty
oh, sure.
stupid.
Yeah, see, I was on the metal side of the fence, and once I started to get into metal, I think just the nature of that music combined with teen angst and young man testosterone, there was just this urge, like, how heavy can we go? I gotta find the heaviest mm-hmm. shit. And, like, you know, it started with, like, Pantera, and then, you know, then you segue into Slayer and stuff like that, and then I started dabbling with like death metal, and I think that's where I peaked out, like, okay, this is, I don't know, I just had this urge, like, I've got to listen to the heaviest, gnarliest shit possible. And then we had the Georgia Tech radio station every Friday night would play a death metal program called Wreckage, and it okay, was just yeah. comical. It was just cliche and comical, just the Cookie yeah. Monster vocals. Like, you couldn't decipher anything, any of the lyrics, even the music, you know, the double bass. And then at one point, I was just like, what am I doing? What am I trying to prove? Like,
Like, yeah, well, there's that moment when you're when you're alone in your car and you're like, "Do I like this?" And you're like, "I don't, I don't know. What am I doing right now?
Yeah,
like what am I feeling right now?
Yeah,
nobody's here to witness me being this metal.
Yeah, who am I trying to impress? What's the deal? What are you doing?
Yeah,
Dave? Calm down.
What did you listen to? Like when you take off all the spiked gauntlets off your forearms, and you're like, "I just need a little Belinda Carlisle right now. I hope nobody sees me."
Dude, that's so funny that you said Belinda, because I actually not her, but I, dude, that's so funny because I remember in the peak, like 95, 96, the peak of my metaldom. I remember thinking, like, dude, what is this? And I actually switched over and started listening to Jewel. I was like, I need this new Jewel album to balance out the ridiculousness of this metal I've been listening to. And it was right when she started to break, around 96. I forgot when she had a couple of big hits. And I was just like, okay, this is a nice change of pace. I actually bought that first Jewel album, and it was sitting there in my shoebox in the passenger seat right next to Cannibal Corpse and Morbid Angel and fucking I Hate God. And I was like, okay, maybe. And maybe that's where like the diversity in my taste started, you know? Like, it's okay to go in a different direction from time to time. You fucking psycho. Calm down.
It's so weird. Yeah, you just get locked in. That is what I like, that everybody's got a little bit of everything now, or a little bit of an appreciation for everything. There's no like, if you listen to this, you can't listen to that. It's such an immature attitude.
Yeah.
And it's so nice. Hold on one second. I'll send a voicemail, whoever that is. Yeah, just pumping the brakes on it. I'm trying to think of what my go-tos were. I think I were talking about this. Was there, I brought it up with Shane on No Accounting for Taste. It was when the country music television started.
Mm-hmm.
Were we talking about this?
I don't think so.
I'm not shy about my appreciation of Shania Twain.
Yeah.
Rachel and I were planning a potential Vegas vacation. She's like, "Well, I want to see Michael. I want to see Magic Mike." I'm like, "We'll go to Magic Mike, then we'll go to Shania Twain. We got one for each of us." We got, we're going to like, we just make a show. We're just doing shows in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
I came up with a knockoff of Puppetry of the Penis called Cock Knots. if you want to go see Puppetry of the Peanuts, Puppetry of the Peanuts. And it's really a misleading show. And it's just Charlie Brown Sesame Street style. Puppetry of the Penis, yeah. But if it's too much, you can come see Cock Knots. And one guy who just goes like, table to table doing a skin watch.
Like terrible balloon animals.
Yeah. But, country music television was on, and I would, like, watch. And it was when it was just music videos, just MTV for country music.
Mm-hmm.
And it was that I would come home for lunch from whatever job I was at, and I started watching that. It's like the middle of the day. I'm just trying to eat and watch TV for half hour, 45 minutes. I'm like, oh, these gals are easy on the eyes. Some of these tunes
absolutely,
are, you know, easy to sing along with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I'd like the music if it wasn't accompanied by a video. Who did Strawberry Fields? That was one I remember.
Strawberry Wine, Dina Carr.
Strawberry Wine. There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. A little Martina McBride in there or something.
Yeah. I used to play all that shit on the radio in the late 90s. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And it was the same thing. It was just the opposite of what was happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, you know what? Yeah, this is what I need on my lunch break. I don't need...
Yeah.
I don't need third wave ska core. I don't need panicked. I don't need panicked trombones right now.
Oh, my God. Ska's one I could never get into. Even though now I would appreciate it. I would appreciate it because I now am a fan of horns and jazz and I'm a fan of reggae and dub and stuff. So, but at the time, 19-year-old Dave had no patience for ska. Like, what are they doing? Bunch of dorks.
Coming at it from punk rock into that third wave mix of that I could see that being considered very silly. I still like it because I was there for it. But it's also like just like how all this beat down hardcore is now getting its day in the sun. Mm-hmm. We were talking about that, and like all like, and I think it's silly because I was just around for it, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be the music that in 10 years you look back, like, remember this phase in our life where we broke our noses, where I got where I got kicked in the face by an Air Force One.
Yeah. Because
some guy, it's like, it's only just beat down hardcore. It's one of those things like, oh, nobody, I don't think anybody's listening to the music. I think they're just here to gymkata each other. I think they're just here. They're here to do Child of Divorced Capoeira. That's all they're doing out here.
Yeah, I never understood that. Like, I with the metal scene, there was definitely plenty of moshing. But just the doing a kata in the middle of the pit, just back kicks and spinning back fist. Like, what's going on, fellas? Calm down. You're gonna hurt somebody.
Yeah, I'm having a good time watching videos of people like, oh yes, I will go to a Turnstile concert and watch them just get their teeth kicked in by some 18-year-old that is just filled with rage because he's straight edge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Doesn't know how to let off steam through chemicals, so he's just kind of butterfly punch.
Oh, man.
What do you want to talk
about?
Good
times, buddy.
Spooky stuff.
Let's talk a little New York. You're going to New York this week.
New York in a couple of days.
You don't like New York.
A couple of days.
What's your problem with New York, Kyle?
You know what? New York is great for the people that like it. I don't. When I went there, I think I went there the first time I was 20. My buddy was going to school there, and I thought it was great, and I was about it. And now I just. I'm going there with a positive attitude. I'm gonna be there for a week, but I just don't know. It doesn't stop. Like it's Brooks Wheelan has that joke, like the city that never sleeps. It's like, that's psychotic. Have you ever met somebody that doesn't sleep? They're not doing well. Brooks, I've been watching Brooks's clips lately, and they've just been killing. Like,
he's funny.
Really enjoy Brooks. His stand up is great. He's a very funny guy. He's like, yeah, the city that never sleeps. That's not somebody that's healthy. It's not a good. It's not somebody that is going to have a good conversation or feel safe around you.
Yeah, that's
and,
a great point.
Yeah, I just don't. I don't. Now, some people, you know, they like. Just like people don't like L.A., and I get that too, and it depends on the neighborhood you live in. I look back at like the apartment I had in Glendale. I'm like, well, I wake up at 7 because that's when the cars start going on the street that's 20 feet away from my apartment, so I don't have a choice. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I was on the road all the time, and I never got good sleep. And now that I've lived in quieter places, my values have changed. But New York is always going, and I value downtime and quiet, and I don't know where you find that without putting on noise-canceling headphones.
Well, even if you solve that problem, I think my problem with it is obviously the noise and the tempo, but there's zero elbow room. There's nowhere in the city you can go and get an arm's length of space. It's just every time I'm there, it's just someone in my grill nonstop, whether it be the subway, the sidewalk, wherever. And say what you will about LA, but at least you can go on a hike. You know, at least it's a car city where you at least, you know, you're stuck in traffic, but you know, you've got some peace and quiet inside your own vehicle. But like New York, I just remember, everybody stand back 3 feet. It's everybody take 3 feet. Three steps back and get the fuck out of my face. It just wears on you. I guess it's like anywhere, though. You get used to it. But
Some people get used to it, and I've never given it enough time to get used to it. I'm going to sneeze. Excuse me. Pardon me.
Watch out. Watch out.
Look out there. Oh, thank God for the little guard on the mic. Encrusted at this point. looks like an avocado.
I mean, they got Central Park, and I, you know, if you're living there, just like if, you know, I would get defensive about L.A., but I couldn't disagree with what people don't like about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, oh, it's just, you got, okay, well, I know I'm only going 7 miles, but that's a 45-minute drive because public transportation sucks. I'm like, yeah, that part, severely lacking. And then, oh, add another 10 minutes or 15 minutes looking for parking when you do get to the place. And then because you drove, forget having drinks, you know. And it for a time, it was cheaper to live. Now I think it's almost the same price. Or everything's gone up astronomically. And so, yeah, it's the same arguments everybody's had about both cities that I agreed with their arguments about L.A., but I lived there just weather alone, weather and space alone. Weather and like, oh, because I do have a car, I'm going to take it and I'm going to drive out to these mountains, or I'm going to drive out to the desert, or I'm going to drive to the beach or something.
Yeah.
But then people live in Brooklyn and they got space and it's not as noisy and it's like, oh, yeah, you found a little corner over here and people get out, they go to Hudson Valley, you take the train up, you know, out of the city. And there are all those parts to it. I just don't. You know, especially for comedy, like you can do four sets a night. I'm like, I don't like myself that much. I also don't hate myself that much. I don't hate myself that much to punish myself that way. I don't like myself to hear my voice in that capacity.
Yeah, same.
But you know who does like New York?
Who's that?
Ghosts.
Ghosts do like New York, man. It's funny that you bring that up because I have a list of very haunted places in New York that maybe you could check out when you're there. When you're not...
hit me with it.
When you're not doing all your sets and your podcast.
I'm staying in a pod hotel. That's what I can afford, is a hotel where the toilet's in the shower. And you know what? not mad about it. I'm not
Are
mad
you serious?
About it.
The toilet Full is body. In the shower?
I think that's just like it was like that when I was in Korea. It was like a tiny, because you know space is limited, tiny full body bidet. I'm actually not mad about it.
Full body bidet.
One of the cleanest feelings you could have is taking a shower right after you take a shit.
Well, yeah, man. Gotta.
So, and it's all right in there? You betcha.
One place you could go that is apparently very haunted is Washington Square Park in Greenwich Village. You ever been to Washington Square Park, watch the old guys play chess?
Oh, man, bought weed there.
Yeah.
My first trip to New York. And
how'd that go down?
God, pre 9/11.
Soliciting on the street? You find a guy who looks like he sells weed?
No,
or did they approach
90,
you?
It had to be 2000. This is what was funny. My buddy was going to school out there, and I had they would just go, smoke. And they had the delivery service, but my buddy wasn't like plugged into it yet. I'm like, oh, yeah, we got to buy some weed. And then he's like, give me like a magazine. We just sat next to this guy on the bench. He's like, give me like a magazine or something I can like put it, like look like I'm doing something with. And I had my backpack with my joke notebook in it. And my first joke notebook. And a guy opened it up. He's like, man, what the fuck is this? I just had a bunch of weird shit written in it. He's like, man, what's going on in here? I'm like, just tell me weed, man. But he was pretty funny about it. And then that's it. And we just bought whatever, $20 worth. He's like, put the bag, or I forget how. Yeah, put the bag in there and just folded it up so it looked like he was just checking out a book and giving it back to me.
That's a good way to do it.
I'm sure it was much less eventful for him, but, you know, dumb. I mean, shit, at that point I was 22 or 23, but still very green to the world.
Yeah. Well, Washington Square Park, before it was a park, it was a potter's field, and I didn't know what that was, so I had to look it up. It's a public burial ground for paupers, criminals, and victims of epidemics. Oh. So all in the 1700s and early 1800s, it was a Potter's Field. They think an estimated 20,000 bodies are currently buried underneath the concrete in Washington Square Park. And many people, of course, you know, a park like that, see something, say something, could mean anything. But there have been people, many reports of people seeing folks in period clothing wandering around Washington Square Park late at night. So it could be one of those 20,000 spirits that are apparently right there.
It's got to be tough in a city, like just a city with all kinds of craziness, to be like, well, that's a ghost, and that's just a lunatic who likes to dress up like a Victorian haberdasher, and then, you know. The mass grave thing, like to think about, like, think about like the homeless people, and they've all got to go somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know how we handle that now. What happens to
you? You can tour the folks. LA morgue. The LA morgue has like a gift shop and everything. I mean, it's kind of like a little bit, I guess, morose if you want to look at it that way. But they also, I think, inform like, well, this is what happens. Like, I think once a year they have like a ceremony. They try to do something proper for, you know, like a mass service kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking it up right now. Going to the they are cremated, placed in this is DC.
Okay.
They say that after 30 days they're cremated and most of the bodies are placed in regional cemeteries and unmarked graves. It's pretty much it says buried outside city limits. That's so sad.
Buried outside city limits.
Yeah, well, I mean, you think of like in the city, this is just like a blanket statement I'm reading, but in the city, these are reserved for people that have paid, you know, cemeteries are still for profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is bumming me out more than a Soundgarden album reading about this.
We used to do that when I was a cop. If you got, let's say you got a single car DUI, or something, right at shift change. Nobody's hurt, no property damage. Sometimes you take the guy, you leave the car, and you load the fella up into your car, and you take him to the neighboring city and drop him off, and then you clock out. That's been known to happen.
Oh, really? Just figure it out?
Yeah, you got a crazy person screaming in front of somebody's townhome or something, and it's shift change, and you just say, hey, man, let me give you a ride to the store, and you take them across county lines and drop them off at the 7-Eleven and go on about your day, 10, 8, 13, no action taken. So sometimes, you know, scoot them over to the other town.
That's a big issue with a lot of places. Like, you know, we don't tolerate homeless people here, so we just ship them to a city. I mean, I think Portland, obviously, with the decriminalizing of all the drugs and the social programs has attracted a lot of it here. And it does come with a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have solutions, so I'm not going to sit here and get real irate about it one way or another without having solutions. You got to be the level of sensitivity you want to express towards these people, because it's like, you're not well.
Yeah.
But it's also like, oh, you're not well, and you're just swinging an axe at strangers. Okay, well, fuck.
Yeah.
That's also not good.
Yeah, can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry with everything that's going on with you, but you got to put that axe down, sir. I'm sorry. Another place you might want to check out that's haunted in New York, the Dakota Hotel. Is that still a hotel? I don't know. Where John Lennon got assassinated. By the way, have you ever seen that picture? There's a photograph of Hinckley? Is he the one that shot Lennon?
Mark David Chapman.
Mark David Chapman. I get Hinckley and Hinckley shot Reagan, right? Yeah, there's a photograph of Mark David Chapman getting an autograph from Lennon like 4 hours before he killed him. And that's always kind of creepy when you see the prequel to something like that. But
who's the guy that got out? John Hinckley got out. recently.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he's like making music or something.
He's a musician. Yeah. He's on Twitter.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. But yeah, the Dakota not only is at the site of Lenin's assassination, also featured in Roman Polanski's horror classic Rosemary's Baby. And over the years, workers and residents, they've reported seeing a little girl dressed in turn-of-the-century clothing just wandering around. And
again, could be a hipster kid.
Could be. This is creepy. Several people have reported seeing an adult with the face of a small boy. Good Lord, that's...
Haley Joel Osment.
Off-putting. And apparently even the ghost of John Lennon himself has been spotted at the Dakota.
According to Smithsonian Magazine, unclaimed bodies in New York, they go to Hart's Island. It's in the western part of Long Island Sound.
Okay.
But that's a Potter. That's Potter's Field since 1869. That's what they use it for.
Okay. Well, that's creepy.
That is creepy.
That one might have been on my list. Let's see here. There's one place that's just a whole little island where they sent a... Yeah, Hart... Oh, did you just say that? Hart Island?
Yeah, Hart Island.
Yeah,
that's where it goes now. That's a pot... Yeah. Again, Potter's Field, yeah.
Yeah, it's just this little island off right there in Long Island Sound, and there used to be a smallpox hospital there, also an abandoned psychiatric hospital, and yeah... Yeah, that's where they used to take the paupers. I guess once Washington Square Park got built, they had to put them somewhere else. But yeah, burial ground for thousands of people who died.
Next to a place called City Island, and has the original crab shanty. So if you want to just a little point of reference there.
But yeah, they're still using Hart Island. A lot of victims of coronavirus are buried there. Really? There's this other place called the House of Death. It's a beautiful townhome on West 10th Street.
House of Death. It's
been called the most haunted building in New York. They say as many as 22 different ghosts call this place home.
All roommates. That's the cost of living. It's nuts.
Even the ghosts got to double up.
They can't afford to haunt their own place.
22 different ghosts there. Mark Twain lived there.
It's right by Washington Square Park. It's
to 1901. He claimed, there's stories of Mark Twain himself claiming to see a bunch of supernatural incidents there, including apparitions and ghostly figures. Throughout the 20th century, it was the site of several gruesome incidents, including a murder-suicide and the beating death of a six-year-old girl, Lisa Steinberg, at the hands of her adopted father. His prominent attorney, Joel Steinberg, back in 1987. So, yeah, people seen a little girl wandering around, all kind of other ghostly figures. Yeah, even Mark Twain. People have seen Mark Twain's ghost there, suit and all.
I wonder if you could be a horrible enough ghost to actually drive the price down to something reasonable in New York City. Like, what would you put up with? You know, like how terrible would it have to be? Like, all right, this place, it's, you know, it's 600 square feet. Wow, not bad. Wow. Okay. All right. It's got, comes with parking. Are you shitting me? The walls, they bleed. The walls do bleed. And you have to clean that up daily. You're like, yeah, but it comes with parking. Like what? I want to know who it right now in New York is dealing with just nightly, like just night terrors, just apparitions, horrified, but they're like, I can't, it's rec controlled, I can't give this place up.
Yeah.
I will deal with this being a portal to hell.
Man, every now and then on YouTube you'll run across smallest apartment in NYC, and I watch one of those videos.
Oh yeah.
There's this one dude, I think it was like 85 square feet. I mean, it was literally like a walk-in closet, but it was, he had a little kitchenette, he had a toilet, I think he had it even kind of divided up vertically to where maybe, you know, he rigged some sort of loft, like that's, he put his bed kind of up in this loft area, but like less than 100 square feet. I mean, that's like a big prison cell.
Yeah, I mean, that's... I checked out a place in L.A. that was like this dude that had a mansion in Mount Washington, but was just renting off the rooms and then had like such a giant living room, almost like ballroom, but there was office partitions in there.
Jeez.
Where people were like... It's... Yeah, it's... But it's what the city has to offer you, so that's why you'll do it.
Yeah, that's true. I'd rather live in a van. Where else? McCarran Park Pool in Brooklyn. This is something I haven't thought about. Like, ghost... I mean, we've talked about ghosts around bodies of water, lakes and rivers and stuff, but pool ghost. There's a pool in Brooklyn, McCarran Park Pool, apparently riddled with paranormal activity. It's a public pool located in McCarran Park on the border of Williamsburg and Greenpoint in Brooklyn.
Okay, I see it, yeah.
Said to host ghostly balls of light. Also, supposedly the site of a little girl's drowning in the 1930s, whose spirit has been reported roaming around the pool at night, crying for help. That's creepy. Little girl ghost just kind of hanging out on the diving board in a public pool.
You comfortable with night swimming?
That's a good question.
It's
like
scary.
In a pool or a lake?
Any, just in general, just being in a body of water that's just dark.
Yeah, I like being in the ocean. You know, we've been in the ocean together in the middle of the night.
We did that in Hawaii. We were swimming, and we kind of stayed out there a little past when we should have.
Mm-hmm.
But like just like nighttime, just being in there at night. It's a wild feeling, man.
Yeah. Like, oddly, I think I was more comfortable there in the ocean at night than I would be in a lake.
Really?
Lakes aren't great for swimming anyway. Well, just, I don't know, the ocean.
Less of a target in the ocean, yeah.
Exactly, exactly. Where even if there's creepy stuff in the ocean, you know, there's so much room it could go elsewhere. Where a lake, I feel like eventually something would zero in on you.
Yeah, true. Yeah, but in the ocean, you just, there's no, you disappear. Even pools at night, though. There's something, that it's just, I let my imagination do a number on me more often than not. So, yeah, nighttime in a pool, but also kind of sexy, kind of fun.
Katie's dad used to have a heated pool and well lit and heated, and we'd go over there at night and splash around. That was a good time. But yeah.
Oh, if it's lit, yeah.
Yeah, completely dark. That's another story. The Amityville Horror House is in New York, in Long Island, or on Long Island.
I tried to find that after doing a show in Long Island, and I could not locate it. It's still there, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. It was occupied by this dude named Ronald DeFeo Jr., his parents and four siblings, all whom were brutally shot and killed back in 1974. It's not open to the public anymore, but you can find it at 108 Ocean Avenue on Long Island. That's one thing about the New York speech that I can never get over is the on the island. I always say in, but yeah, I guess New Yorkers, I'm on Long Island. Same way they're online at the bank. I never understood that. I'm in line, but they're online. I'm online at the bank. Anyway, they had to change the address. It used to be, the original address is 112 Ocean Avenue. They had to change it to 108 for to distract tourists.
Well, it worked. I was distracted. But also, you got to think that, isn't it just coming out? Like, yeah, it's just the kid was like mentally ill and got into acid and killed his family. Like, there's nothing spooky about it. It's just unchecked mental illness and drug use.
Yeah.
But you know, the lore ran away with it.
There's this place called St. Mark's Church in the Bowery. It's the second oldest church in Manhattan. Built on Dutch colonial governor Peter Stuyvesant's family farm. Legend has it that the cantankerous peg-legged Dutchman still haunts the area. He's been known to harass clergymen and parishioners. ringing bells, interrupting services by stomping around. Man, why does a peg leg just amplify the spookiness of a ghost or spirit so much?
Imagine being the first guy with like a prosthetic leg. Like, ooh, look at this asshole with this realistic looking leg.
Look at Mr. Fancy Pants over here.
Oh, he's got a foot and everything.
Look at this asshole. Oh my God. That's funny.
We went to, I remember the first time going there, we went to McSorley's, established 1854. Mm-hmm. Just this bar. How old is it? I don't know if it's the oldest bar. I'm looking up the history of it now. It's not the oldest bar, but it's... You just get light beer or you get dark beer, and then they serve liverwurst sandwiches.
Okay. I like that, light or dark. What do you want?
That, it's all you get.
What, light being probably a pilsner and dark being, what, a stout maybe?
I think... Look at their website, cash only. Nice.
Hmm. Yeah, that's always bizarre, bars that are cash only. I always just, I know a lot of them are doing it to launder, which, you know, that's a good idea. Leave no digital trail. But also, when a bar just says cash only, I just feel like I might as well have a sign that says, please rob me.
Something tells me if it's cash only, they're ready for that.
Yeah, probably so.
And also, just the way you could, oh, we only sold this much laundering. Oh, we got robbed. Well, we sold this much, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's, I'm sure you got to, you know, you got to ring things up. That you go by receipts. I don't know. It's inconvenient. Any place that's cash only is wildly inconvenient because I never have cash. But then I got to think from a business owner standpoint, if you're successful enough and people know your business well enough and you're kind of sticking it to the, not the man, but the credit card companies because they take a percentage of the profits.
Yeah, that's true.
As I remember when like Hannibal was just starting to break and he did some commercial for Capital One or something. And he was at, what's the famous pastrami place in New York?
Cat's Deli?
Yeah.
Or, there's Cat's and there's another one.
No, it was Cat's. It was Cat's Deli. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, what about Cat's Deli? You know, he's all Hannibal. Now I use my Capital One card. I'm like, all right, I got a Capital One card. I go to Cat's Deli. Like, yeah, we don't take that card here. I'm like, Hannibal, goddamn it, man. They straight up, they just made the commercial there. I don't take that fucking card there. That was hilarious.
That's funny.
It also was a very Hannibal thing. Like, you know, just imagine Hannibal. I don't give a shit what's true or not. Just pay me, credit card company.
You ever been to Cat's Deli?
Yeah, I tried to use my credit card there, and they wouldn't take it.
Hmm.
So I had to use it.
Oh, I thought you said Hannibal was trying to use his card there.
No, Hannibal did a commercial saying for Capital One, saying I use my Capital One thing here. And I went there trying to pay with Capital One. Like, yeah, we don't take that. I'm like, but the...
Yeah. I saw the commercial.
You son of a...
I've been there a few times.
Now I'm
good.
On their website looking at pastrami. Ooh, why did I stop eating meat? Stupid.
But could
move,
I,
Dave.
Could I get a sandwich that's only half a pound instead of 4 pounds and maybe pay a reasonable price for it? The way they stack that shit on
go
there.
Go somewhere like else then. Then go somewhere else.
Not even
going to
fit in my mouth.
Go somewhere else.
Man, I do love.
That's the attitude I like.
Sandwich.
You don't want this? Yeah. Then you go somewhere else and eat. There is an element of New York that I do appreciate. I don't want. Don't be rude, but that whole the customer's always right. No, they're not. They're more often
absolutely
than
not
wildly incorrect.
Absolutely not. Yeah. Boy, I tell you, underrated cuisine in the rest of the country. I know it's big in New York. The deli, the Jewish deli. Ooh. I love all that shit. Told you
get
I was
yourself
in a Lox phase.
You've been to the one in MacArthur Lox. Park in a while? I forget what's that
one. Oh, yeah, called. Langer's. I was there a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Langer's I hit a lot. I'm not too far here from Cantor's. But, yeah, man, I love it. It's just so foreign to me. Like, I didn't grow up with exposure to any of that. Like,
no,
I'm not
I
sure
knew Italian delis. I didn't know Jewish delis. I knew Italian delis.
I don't think I met a Jewish person until I started doing comedy. I had no idea about Jewish culture growing up in North Georgia.
Also, same here. I think I may have met one but did not know until I was doing stand-up and somebody talked about being Jewish. I'm like, oh. I just, I didn't grow up, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, didn't, love
was
a
not
good Jewish
in the town. Area I grew up, yeah. Didn't go to anybody's bar mitzvah or anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I knew nothing
looked
about
it. Like, they looked like hell of a party, too. I wish I would have been able to go to one. Looks like a big
bar
old
bar mitzvah's the boy and bat mitzvah's the girl or the other way around?
I don't know. A mitzvah. Any kind of mitzvah. I'd like to be invited to a mitzvah.
And, you know, Mexicans, Latinos, they get the quinceañera. Mm-hmm. It's just a dumb white kid from Georgia. We didn't have any of that shit. Like, my version of that was the first time my dad took me to an all-you-can-eat pizza buffet. I feel like that was my...
That's when you became a man?
Yeah, I think that's when I transitioned to a grown man.
Yeah, this is it. I read from the menu aloud. Then, when the first time you read the Pizza Hut menu out loud to your family... and you choose for them what you're going to eat, that not the other way around. That's how you became a man.
Yeah, yeah. I could not wrap my mind around the concept of the all-you-can-eat buffet. I was just like, what do you mean? It's one price, and I could just stay here all day? I remember saying that to my dad. I could stay here all day, and he's like, well, yeah, technically, I guess, but we're not going to do that. Just eat your normal allotted time.
You can stay here until you start feeling the looks of the employees, and those looks turn into shame.
Yeah.
Some people, they never reach that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good people watching at a buffet.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just a public service announcement. You know, I'm a veteran of buffet culture, but I still see people trying to recycle their plates. New plate every time you go. Come on. Clean it up.
What's the ethos behind that?
It's just general hygiene, you know?
Why?
You're drooling all over your plate, you know, shoveling it in. You don't want to take that back up, you know, to the buffet.
Is that what? Okay, it's like a hygienic thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a health code thing. And they always know when you're done. The move too, to let them know that you're finished, is when you retire your fork and knife. It's like a cop turning in his badge and gun. It's like, all right, I don't need this anymore. I'm tapping out. So whenever you put the fork and knife on the dirty plate and push it away, that's the sign that I'm done here. Man, wow. I haven't been to an Indian buffet in a while. It might be time for that.
Well, do you want me to let you go and get to this buffet? It's a bit midday here.
I should probably leave now. Oh, boy. Well, man, seriously, I do have to go. No, I'm not going to the buffet, but I've got
You got a lot of recording to do today, Dave.
Yeah, I got a lot of podcasts to do this week. Oh, boy. But, man, have fun in New York. You going to make time to do anything cool?
I mean,
what part of town you stay in, do you know?
I'm staying in Brooklyn. It's where my toilet shower is.
Yeah.
It's my upright toilet shower bed is in Brooklyn. I sprang for a hotel. It's just like, you know, I don't want to deal. Like, you're couch hopping and you're already doing enough. And like, you know, I'm 46. I could pay for, I'm not going to pay top dollar.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not staying at something fancy, but a bed that I have by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. I could do that now. That's okay to do that now.
Yeah, I definitely think so. When's the last time you couch surfed on tour?
Oh, if it's like a night or two, sure. Or if I go to LA, I stay at my sister's, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I've crashed at your place.
Yeah.
You've been kind enough to do so.
But I'm talking
about
just
I'm here for a whole week, you know.
I feel like I don't have a lot of that in me left. To just, hey, we just met because you booked the show. Sure, I'll sleep on your couch, you stranger. I did
plenty of
that back in the day.
You know, you start making your own money. It's okay to part with some of that for quality of life. Nobody's fancy, mm-hmm. but just a little dash of privacy and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, man, that's this week.
Good time. So tell us again where you're going to be.
Tickets. I got, it's all sold out. Few tickets left for the late show at the Bell House Thursday night. This Thursday, the 4th. But, Bell's, we have White Eagle Hall is sold out. Early show's sold out. So thank you for that. People that already bought tickets, appreciate it. Next weekend, Vermont Comedy Club. And then the weekend after that, the McMinnville UFO Festival.
Let's see. Oh, big week for me. Friday, Pack of Lunch comes out. Friday, May 5th. It's on YouTube. I think 5 o'clock Pacific, 8 o'clock Eastern is when that will debut. So, feel free to tune in. Watch that bastard. Share it. Share it with your friends.
Watch Pack of Lunch on Cinco de Mayo. How do you say Pack of Lunch in Spanish?
Great question. Yo no sé. Also, on vinyl, you can go right now to blondemedicine.com. You can pre-order the 2LP on colored splatter vinyl. That will ship in August. And those are moving fast, limited amount. I think we did 500 copies, and apparently those are moving fairly quick. So if you have any interest in getting a hold of that, I would recommend doing so quickly. But
Preparar un almuerzo.
Do what now?
Preparar un almuerzo.
Okay, right on.
To celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Hell yeah, man. But seriously, if you watch the special, you watch my clips, same thing with Kyle's stuff, the best thing you could do is just share it with friends and or family or on social media. Spread the word. All right, buddy. Have fun. Be safe. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Pack a lunch.
The Boogie Monster.